Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to another edition of Rural Route, the program where we gather every day at this time. Well, we do it Monday through Friday anyway. And what we do when we gather is continue to address the issues between food production and food consumption. Hank Vogler checking in like clockwork every Monday from North Spring Valley, Nevada. What's happening?
Well, we got about half of our AI sheep lambed out, and they're progressing nicely. Nice-looking lambs. Of course, we're kind of prejudiced on account of their R's. Everybody's on the bands are on the lambing grounds, and they should start lambing by the end of the week. And off and running, then we got to brand some calves and go to San Jacinto on the 29th. So we're just doing the 100-yard dash.
Well, you're lambing and my calving are kind of synchronized.
Wild, wild west. Well, I guess we could also be more colloquial and say that we're doing the 100-yard mosey instead of the 100-yard dash. But
would that be a 100-yard female mosey amazing. Or a 100-yard male mosey?
Well, we're doing our best. But it's dry here. We haven't had a rain for some time. There's supposed to be some showers coming through this week, but I've been checking water holes and fences and fixing roads. You know, everybody thinks we got our maid out here. Well, the BLM is way too busy to fix any roads. And so we've been patching up roads so we can get the camps around, get the water trucks around. So, and then, of course, everybody else, the hunters and the recreationists, everybody, even the BLM gets to use the roads. It doesn't mean nothing to them. Nobody stops by and leaves us any thank you notes, but we have to take care of ourselves. So we've been doing that, just staying busy.
So, you know, I do pay attention to anything that's tied to the Bureau of Land Management, BLM, because you and I have this discussion, and I always want to pretend like I'm keeping abreast of what's happening and the challenges, and I find out before Hank finds out. That's my goal anyway. Well, in coming on 20 years of you and I doing this, it appears to me in the last couple of weeks there's an acceleration of BLM news, and that is part of what we talked about. With they've dedicated a certain amount to go into solar capture. Now I see where the BLM in the state of Wyoming is going to gift 60,000 acres to a tribe. We had the Minnesota State Department or State Parks gifted a little reservation to a tribe in Minnesota about 2 months ago. There's a lot of activity taking place on BLM land, and I'm not sure it's all in your best interest or mine as part owner of the BLM land.
And again, that may be a incorrect interpretation. The states are all supposed to be sovereign, and like Texas, there's no BLM land there except for government land there, except what they've purchased. The further west people went, the more input it took to hold places together. And in the case of Nevada, they never even took their state lands or their school lands because they didn't think it would generate enough revenue. But the land has never been turned over to the states, which was what was supposed to happen. And then it would be up to the states to grant those tribal rights or whatever. But through years and years of gaslighting, all of a sudden, instead of the land office for its disposal, you know, and this was known a long time ago, Grover Cleveland was president. In fact, I think he was the only other president besides Donald Trump that could be elected after being laying off for a few years. But his relatives wound up with all deeded land here in Nevada.
Imagine oh, that's that. Handy.
So, in fact, the Cleveland Ranch is just down the road. So it's nothing new. But, yeah, and then they want the They want the conservation reserves. They want the 30 by 30. They want all of these things. And it's all federal. Well, several people have tried to contest it being state land. And of course, the powers that be never let that happen. In fact, Ronald Reagan, Jim Watt, when he was the Secretary of Interior, came to the state of Nevada, and they were going to turn over all the BLM land in the state of Nevada to the state. And the contingency that was sent there from Nevada to speak with Mr. Watt turned it down. And of course, that was probably nothing that they could reveal or whatever, because it was never brought to attention. The only reason I knew it is I was in J.R. Simplot's basement with an issue from Eastern Oregon when Jim Watt came in, cussing like a drunk sailor about these turkeys in Nevada that wouldn't take the 87% or whatever federal ownership there was in the state of Nevada, because Ronald Reagan made the speech that he was a sagebrush rebellion. That was back in the 80s.
Yeah.
So that didn't happen. But the land that the BLM wound up with was land that nobody settled up on, and then they changed the narrative, and they now they're getting more land and giving it away and doing all these things. And the Secretary of the Interior is a Native American. She was some tribe in Arizona that lived by a lake somewhere there. She was not a Navajo or a Hopi. So yeah, it's a whole changing paradigm, and it certainly has. They're stopping all kinds of, look at Alaska, they're stopping all kinds of oil exploration. It's like 99% federally owned or federal controlled is the correct term. Their agriculture, rangeland grazing, everything is taking a back seat to all these energy projects. There will be no state of Nevada other than solar panels if they are allowed to do what they want to do. I mean, it's just, yep, we're under more of attack now than, we're kind of like the Indians, Trent.
We're under attack. We are.
We're going to wind up on a reservation.
And just to make my point that it's not just about Wyoming and Nevada and those states that typically we've known as having BLM land, but Illinois is now home to, this is 2 days ago, Illinois is now home to a federally recognized tribal nation for the first time after a decision in the U.S. Department of Interior placed portions of the Prairie Band Potawatomi Nation's Northern Illinois Reservation land into trust. And Deb Haglund was there 2 weeks or 2 days ago saying this very thing. I'm not anti-tribal, but I'm telling you something's going on.
Oh, yeah. I think that under the Biden administration, I think they're laying off the bet that they may lose their power and the Democrats may lose their power. And so they are accelerating all of their projects, their pet projects, whether they're environmental projects or Native American projects. I mean, Conner's Pass was a terrible tragedy. More than once, they massacred Indians in this patch of swamp cedars. And there it sits. Well, instead of giving it to the tribe, they're going to be under another federal control. So the Indians aren't going to get anything out of it. You know, my family left Oklahoma when it became a state. Why? Well, one of the reasons might have been the family joke was they left because the water was so black they couldn't drink it. But the other thing was, is it was quite popular at the time to marry an Indian woman and then get all the papers done and then kill her. And then you got title to her land so that you could drill for the oil underneath it. So these folks pulled out and moved to Eastern Washington on a place called Chickasaw Flats. Well, Chickasaws were from Oklahoma, and they were part Chickasaw and part Cherokee. And it happened to be right next to the Vogler elevator. My great-grandfather had a grain elevator there. So, and the rest, as they say, is histoire.
elevating this discussion to a whole new level. That's what we'll do with the Vogler Elevator when we're back with more Roll Route after this. Let's talk about healthy living through nitric oxide supplementation for 18 and a half years. That's how I've started every single day, and I can't imagine missing a day. Some days when I thought there was a challenge, I would actually take two a day, but for the most part, I'm one a day kind of a guy, depending on where you are at with your cardiovascular system, depending on where you're at with your immune system. Dr. Nathan Bryan has written the book about nitric oxide, functional nitric oxide. We've all demonized and been a part of demonizing nitrates without understanding how important they are to your cardiovascular, mental, and physical health. NO2U.com. NO, number two, letter U.com. Welcome back. Roll Route, Trent Luce, Hank Vogler charging into another week. It's not the final week of April, but it's close. Okay, only Hank Vogler would pick up on where I was headed with my discussion about federal government designating more tribal land. Because, you see, I lived on the Rosebud for 5 years, Rosebud Reservation, so I understand this. When they say, when they being the federal government says that we're going to go to Illinois and we're gonna create this reservation, we're going to gift this reservation to those tribes, you absolutely need to understand the reservation does not control their own land. They are not a sovereign nation. They answer to tribal affairs, which is part of the Bureau of Department of Interior, part of not the Bureau of Land Management, but it's a part of the Department of Interior. It is more government control, not less.
And this was my very argument on the designation of the swamp cedars as special land for the local tribes here in eastern Nevada. They will be under the Park Service. Well, the Park Service has already betrayed the ranchers. Harry Reid guaranteed Dean Baker that they would always be able to graze cattle. And then they immediately started harassing him. And, Mr. Baker, we were up there on this canyon today, and according to your proposal and our proposal and our agreement, there's supposed to be 9 cows in that canyon. We counted 12. Now, let's get that corrected immediately. 5-6 times a day. So finally, Dean says, enough's enough. Buy me out. So they got Nature's Conservancy to come in and buy them out, or some, I guess it was Nature's Conservancy, some environmental organization, and they got rid of them. Well, lo and behold, it's only been about 3 weeks ago, as in the paper, that because of the huge fire that was on the park, they may decide to use livestock grazing to control the light fuels. Imagine that, Mr. Luce.
They got rid of the rancher.
They want to get it. Yeah. Now they want to give this land supposedly to the tribes. So dumb county commissioner, practically the first meeting I attended, said, okay, if this is what everybody agrees to, I think that's a little more land. You're taking in a couple of BLM allotments that has nothing to do with the swamp cedars. You're taking in some gold claims that there's people been making a living off those gold claims. And how in the world, I buckarooed down in those swamp cedars for 15 years, and there's nothing there except the bones of those people that were slaughtered in there. And I don't want anybody building a kiosk down there and having somebody going in that, on those swamp cedars and relieving themselves on the bones of that those people.
Yeah.
So if you want to build a kiosk on Highway 50, fine. If you want to build one on the Spring Valley Road, fine. Let the tribe have final control over those swamp cedars, not another bureaucracy. Since the beginning of the United States, they've been under the Department of War. And then Andrew Jackson says, hey, let's move you all to Oklahoma. That's what they told my family. Let's do this. Then they were under the Department of Interior, now the Bureau of Indian Affairs. BIA stands for Boss Indians Around, according to Lee Moon. And they have no autonomy whatsoever. It's just one government agency creating jobs for white people to administer it, to have their thumb on the tribes. And all I ask was that they allow the Indians here, the native tribes, to have the last word, the last say on anything that would happen in those swamp cedars where those people died. Whoa. They had a big deal down there. They had all the bureaucrats, all the BLM, all the hotshots, all the tribal people. Big, big photo op. Look what we're doing for these poor folks. We're saving them. Guess who wasn't invited?
Yeah.
The only person on the county commission that had any blood in him that could be traced back to any tribe.
Yeah. I'm sure that's a true story.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I mean, yeah. So even under the auspice of helping these tribes, they're not. They're just making more jobs for more bureaucrats in the Department of Interior. Period. End of story.
Crazy. Well, it is crazy, and it continues to happen without anybody paying attention.
Well, if your ox is not being gored, and God help you if you stand up against the federal government. Wayne Hage died, his wife died, his second wife died, all trying to stand up for their rights. Oh, guess what? Forest Service just printed that they're going to start putting livestock out on those permits that have been vacated since 1992 to clean up the light fuels, fire prevention. Goodness sakes.
Where can I document that?
Look up USDA, Humboldt Toyabe. I think it's a kind of has a different subtitle over there. Maybe Pequops or no, that's not Pequops. But anyhow, there's Humboldt Toyabe. It was a news release. It was I got a copy of it. Humboldt Toyabe. Well, Forest Service, USDA Forest Service, Nevada.
Didn't
Tonopah District, I believe.
Didn't Pine Creek Ranch sell to, it's not a tribe, but it's a nonprofit Indian organization out of Rapid City, South Dakota?
Possibly part of the deeded land or something to that effect. But this is what's controlled by the Forest Service. Maybe they got the BLM. I don't know.
Well, wouldn't the Forest Service be tied to deeded land?
It would be, yeah, but like here, it's a 40-acre parcel. It's not, you can tie it to a bigger piece of ground that's 40 acres that's got a cheap, tight fence on. It's all mine is.
I'm just pulling on recollection so, yeah, from it, a few
even
years
BLM
ago.
Has a base property.
Right, but I'm just pulling on. I remember it happening a few years back, like 3 years back, that the Hage Ranch, because Wayne Jr. no longer really controlled it. It was controlled by people that were investors from San Francisco. And then they sold it, and I'm sure it was purchased by, and I can't think of the name of the outfit in Rapid City that bought it. And that outfit in Rapid City gets tons of grant money and got millions of dollars from Melinda Gates. And I know that's a fact, but I should have had researched it. Of course, if I'd have known we were going to talk about it, I would have.
Forest Service runs under a completely different set of rules and regulations than BLM. It's just like, it's like right here in River City. It says right in their handbook. No federal, state, or county agency can hold a forest permit. Southern Nevada Water Authority, a state agency, I believe has 5, but I know they have more than 1 Forest Service permit. And the local forest guy says that that information and those protests are in Ogden. And right now, rumor mill, I'm not sure that's even true. It might be true that they're trying to make a trade with the Nevada Department of Wildlife, which is another state agency. I mean, just all kinds of crap, you know. You don't have to.
Well, isn't it
your
about
name's
time
Trent
you
Luce or Hank Vogler? You haven't got a chance.
Isn't it about time you enter the term Southern Nevada Water Authority to acquire land here?
They seem to have control of, according to them, nearly a million acres or something.
Yeah, a million acres.
Which is illegal. Yeah, it's illegal for them to hold a forest permit or a BLM permit. But yet, when they were harassing those people down at Wilson Creek, running roughshod over the agreements, the rangeline agreements that went back, I think, in 1963, and the thug that runs that place, who, you know, I mean, he's using the taxpayer's checkbook, they took him to the Bureau of Land Management's IBLA, that's supposed to be fair and impartial, and said it was okay that they grazed. But they're a federal agency that's within the Department of Interior, which are the people that have illegally granted those permits to begin with. Well, how? What do you think the IBLA is going to do?
Yeah. We got to do this. We got to run to a break. We're halfway through. Roll route. More Hank Wiggler, Trent Luce after this. Certainly that time of year when we talk about dealing with pests in our field. What's your strategy for maintaining the pests, whether they be weeds or insects, in the year 2024? Planting season is upon us. I know you've got a plan. Apache Sprayers could help you make that more convenient and more efficient. More details about Simpson Farm Enterprises and everything that they offer in terms of innovation and reliability and service at simpsonfarm.com. Welcome back. Roll route, Trent Luce, alongside. Unsuccessful on my quest to quickly pull up the data that I want, so maybe we'll approach that next week. Okay. Land woes continue for the not only Federal Lands Rancher, but for all property owners. I mean, the conscience of the federal government is that until land is owned by the federal government, they're not going to be happy. 100%.
No, they want total control. Whether they use the Endangered Species Act, Environmental Protection Agency, or Waters of the United States, the incrementalism is just continues and continues and continues.
Or Nature's Conservancy, because that's an arm that comes out and purchases land, or better yet, buys an easement, completely takes away your properties. Then they enter a public-private partnership with U.S. Fish and Wildlife or whatever the case may be. Voila, the federal government ends up with control anyway. And Nature's Conservancy is the largest nonprofit landowner in the country.
Yes, sir, Bob. Welcome to my world. Bienvenidos a Estados Unidos. That's welcome to America, comrade.
Yep.
And everybody just kind of blinks their eyes. Well, gee, these folks are just trying to protect the land. No, they're not. It's a money machine. They get paid on both ends. Everybody get, and then they make more government jobs. And then pretty quick, they start, you know, look at your deed, boys and girls. You look back far enough and it goes back. It all belonged to the federal government at some time. And it was granted to you. And now they're trying to take it all back. I mean, this is the grand scheme. Control the food. You know, why do they have all the statistics on all these ranches and all these county grids of how much soybean or how much corn you produce? And they want to know everything about your operation. So I guess so when they take it over and they put bureaucrats in charge, that they'll, you know, I mean, read your history, boys and girls. 1913 was the largest wheat crop ever harvested
in Russia
ever, and they had horses in wheat in Russia. And until the fall of the Soviet Union and they gave some people some autonomy, that record was never broken. The entire time the government had that, they had shelves that were empty. Stalin even took the grains from Ukraine and Georgia and all the southern part of Russia and sold it on the open market to show how well communism was working. But it doesn't. nobody on any outfit wants to work any harder than the slowest guy on the crew. Because if they're all getting paid the same, there's no incentive to excel. There is no bonuses held and handed out by ownership. People came from all over the world to own private land here in America. That was an incentive. Who do you think takes the best care of the land? Yes, there are dinks that do the wrong things, and there are novices that do the wrong things. But the biggest dink of all is the El Federales, senor. Because they get a check in the mail every 2 weeks. Right here in Nevada, Nevada Department of Wildlife has managed the wildlife so well that the new mantra, if you want to go deer hunting in the state of Nevada, the term is BYOD. Bring your own deer. I'm trying to get them to take over the wild horses. And hopefully the coyotes.
Yeah.
They'll clean that mess up.
That's because the dinks are running the asylum. That's why. Get rid of the dinks.
Yeah. and that's a general term. All right. And yes, there are people in there that start out with the incentive. It's sort of like a union job. When a guy comes over to you and says, hey, slow down. Don't be working that hard. You make the rest of us look bad. We got a union contract here. We're only going to turn out so much. That was said to me once. Same way with the government. The old guys that are in charge are the people that hardly any of them have anything to do with rural America. They're city kids, idealistic, mm-hmm. want to save the earth. Bunny huggers, whatever you want to call them, fern fairies. Yeah, that's them. Frog lickers. They're running the show. So what do you think they want to promote? Stinking old sheep and cows? Are you kidding me here? No matter what sort of a caveat they got you to take up that land and nourish it and raise livestock on it, they're not there. And the people that do have the incentive to do something, do have the incentive to actually save the ground, they're pushed to the back. They won't be in charge for another 25 years. And by then there'll be a whole different itinerary. So yeah, it is absolutely insane asylum, really. I don't know. I don't.
You got a commission meeting?
I just remember an ace. You better betcha. We're going to have a conversation about the hole in the wall gang from the water network that beat the pipeline to Las Vegas. He's going to give a talk. That ought to be very interesting because there's a couple of people on the commission that are pretty well sold that's the future. 1,600 acres or whatever it is of solar panels around the airport.
For your pump station?
In Jake's Valley. Well, the pump station is going to use that electricity to put the water up the hill to pour the water down the hole in the wall to create electricity.
Yeah.
To pump it back up.
I thought we got rid of that solar development in White Pine County.
No, it's the wind. In Newark Valley, they've got it put on hold. So that was one step forward. And of course, they want to get as much money in their pocket. They're all government subsidized. So what they're doing is they want to do it as cheap as they can because that's that much more money they'll get to take home to themselves.
Absolutely.
So they want to put these solar panels right out in the best white sage, winter feed, winter fat's what it's called anyhow. It's almost as palatable and as protein level as alfalfa. And the deer, elk, antelope, wild horses, domestic livestock, everything uses it, and they're going to put it into solar panels, and when they start disturbing that soil, it'll turn to halogen, and halogen is a poisonous plant. Whoopee! Won't that be great? So then if all of a sudden in Washington, D.C., those people wake up to the fallacies of this solar crap, and they shut it all down, but they already have disturbed the soil and turned it into halogen, That's the legacy will be left. The circus will be to leave town, and we'll be left with giant piles of elephant dung. But other than that, it's just another beautiful day in the neighborhood.
So I am told, and I don't know how you confirm this because they keep it all piecemealed together so you can't add it all up. But I am told that the proposed solar projects, they want to total 70 million acres. So that's nationwide. And I want to preface this by saying I'm not foolish enough to believe that Nevada produces any soybeans, okay? But we put in place in 1985 the Conservation Reserve Program. It's widely recognized. Anybody who studies this knows that South America put an extra $6 on their soybean crop per bushel because we had a Conservation Reserve Program. So we set our land idle. So South America increases soybean production and adds $6 a bushel to the price of their soybeans. We never had more than 25 million total acres of CRP. Now, maybe one year it was 30 million, but we hang around 25 to 30 million since 1985. And you have to know that not all of those acres were soybean acres. So you can roughly say, I'm just pulling numbers out of the thin air, but they're based on pretty good experience, that there's somewhere between 12 and 15 million acres of soybeans that went out of production. If we put 70 million acres under a solar panel, what's it going to do to the displacement of acres for food production, Hank?
Can you speak Portuguese? That's what they speak. That's what they speak in Brazil. Can you can
answer your question?
Please, can we have something to eat?
Yeah. But tell me where my logic is flawed.
It's not. It's not. But until you go into the Piggly Wiggly and the shelves are empty and everybody runs down to the local government office and starts jumping up and down and screaming, nobody's going to listen to, reality. Yeah. And it may not be that much, but there may be as what was his name? Dave Foreman. He wanted emigration out of the United States back to the pre-World War II population for Nirvana, for Valhalla. Well, maybe that's what's going to happen. We'll all be going to Brazil to get jobs. You know, you can hire a Brazilian cowboy for $60 a month. So, yeah. Argentina, I think, is about to become the world's largest corn and soybean producer in the world. China's gearing up. China's been turning down a whole bunch of our sales, turning them back. There's a bigger plan out there than we're talking about. But we're the canaries in the coal mine, you know. I mean, it was pretty funny when old Hank used to bring it up about the sage grouse until you guys got the prairie chicken or whatever they do. So that was funny until, you know, that chicken came home to roost at your house. So, yeah, that's what it has to happen. Somebody's got to wake up one morning and the electricity doesn't work because it's dark, because it's solar panel. My well up here that is runs on a solar panel, it's pumping water out right now better than it has since we put it in. But the sun's been shining a little longer than it was before. But it quits at night, every night, just like flipping off a switch when you go to bed. It's dark. So, yeah.
All right. So I got to go to a break. I'll give the data on what my quick searching of CRP acres amounts to. We'll get back with the last segment of Roll Route after this. Well, I get a bit of great news. Great Plains cattlemen work hard at producing a consistent supply of home-grown tender beef thanks to the Piedmontese breed and the system called Certified Piedmontese. You, the consumer, do not need to go to the store. We deliver the tender beef to your door. Details and order at cpbeef.com. Welcome back. Roll Route, Trent Lewis, alongside Hank Vogler. As of 2023, 24.8 million acres, so just short of 25 million acres, are enrolled in the Conservation Reserve Program, CRP. This includes 927,000 acres enrolled in the general CRP signup and 2.3 million acres enrolled in the grassland. So in case you thought this was just a soybean issue, we now have 2.3 million acres enrolled in grassland CRP. And the government, Farm Service Agency has a goal for the fiscal year 2023 of 27 million acres. So they're 2 million acres short of what they think they want.
And how many millions of acres of known productive oil in Alaska have been shut off? There was a copper mine up there that is rich copper, thousands of jobs, and they needed to build a road into it. They can't do anything. But for solar panels and for wind
panels
and wind turbines, they need lots of copper. So, I mean, yeah. There's just no end to it, you know. Yes, sir. And again, it will be government control. That's what it's all about. It has nothing else, you know. Who gets up in the middle of the night and checks your pigs? Do you think you could call up the FSA and they'd send somebody out, check your pigs?
Yeah, I think they'd do it in a heartbeat.
Do you think it's in your best interest? Do you think it's in your best interest to set the old alarm for about 12:30? And well, it's your age, you got to get up and pee anyhow. But somebody's checking the pigs, and it's not the government.
Yeah. Okay. First of all, let me explain something that you were alluding to earlier, and I want to walk through this. When Kelly and I purchased this place, there was a base, a Farm Service Agency base for corn, for alfalfa, and soybeans. I did not want any base. I do not walk into a Farm Service office once, never have, never will. They literally drove out here and they said, Trent, you are going to let money go untapped if you don't continue your base. People spent time and effort to build the base on your place. It's all dry land. So the base was pretty marginal to begin with, right? But I was like, I don't want the money. I will never take a subsidy. I'll quit. I'll go pump gas at the local gas station before I'll take a subsidy to keep this thing running from the government. They could not believe this. They literally drove to my place 30 miles from Kearney to my house, 30 miles to come out here and tell me I got to take this money.
Well, that makes you a marked man, you know. There's a 40-cent subsidy on wool. There's all kinds of NRCS money available to cut down pinyon and juniper, plant seeds, put little tabs on the fence for sage grouse. All of these things are, you know, what about the Farm Service business of loaning money?
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think could call them up and say, hey, let's pull in a bunch of these notes? They let you borrow lots of money, but at the back of the bus, sitting there in the quiet, is the federal government. But where are you going to get the money to run your outfit? The little farmer merchants banks are about all gone. So if you need some money to stay in business, to continue to grow larger, because you have to, in order to compete when you have $80,000, $100,000 pickups, $250,000 swathers. Yeah. Government is sitting in the back pulling strings.
Farm credit loans, 40% of the money loaned in agriculture.
Yep. And so they could jerk, if we all got together and said, this is what we want, they could jerk the rug out from under that in one half a heartbeat.
Yep. Yep. No doubt about it.
So, comrade, Do you ever?
Did you have something else on your mind today?
Yes. A very sad note for me. Kurt Englehart is driving to work in the morning, Kitsky Lane, Reno, Nevada. A Honduran illegal who was turned loose in the country in 2021, T-boned him and ran away, hit and run, killed him. He had the memorial for him yesterday. Mm. But that sad part of that is he was the rural attaché for Catherine Cortez Maestas, our senator from Nevada, our senior senator. She's not up for re-election this year. She's all of a sudden a denier of ever making speeches about letting these people in and going along and voting in lockstep with the rest of the Democrats. But she did. They even one time, I've only seen it once. I don't know if she got that squelched or not on the TV that she's trying to do everything she could to stop this mess. But the news clips that they showed doesn't prove that. It says just the opposite. And I don't know if it's the day Kurt died, 38 years old. I don't know if it was that day. We used to giggle and laugh about trying to quit Copenhagen. And he was a great guy. Just a kid, but he was a great guy. And he'd help you. He'd listen to you. He'd do everything he could for you. And she voted, along with the rest of the Democrats, to not impeach Alejandro Mayorkas. Now, why she couldn't have walked into Schumer's office and said, hey, I just can't do this. Kamala can break the tie if there's a tie. You'll still get your way, even though it's illegal. You're supposed to have an impeachment trial. It's the House that decides who gets an impeachment trial. It's the Senate who impeaches. But I can't do this, my friend. So it's all about power. And as far as I'm concerned, she's a black widow. She, as soon as she gets through with a male that she doesn't need or a person she says, she just throws them in the trash. And it's a sad, sad, sad thing that power is more important than people. And it just makes me sick.
The really bad news is that in the population of elected officials in Washington, D.C., she's not the exception. She's the norm.
Yep. It's all about power. And I always thought my Achilles heel was, don't ask me what I think, because I'll tell you. But I guess it's because I was always taught to have respect for my fellow man and for life. And I don't know how many baby lambs. I'm not going to get into the issue of abortion, but I can't hardly even talk about it. But I've saved many a baby lamb by tickling their nose or giving them the Heimlich. Baby calves, I've put them by the stove. I've put calves in the bathtub before when they were freezing. I was raised to respect life. And that just crushes me that somebody could be that cold-blooded. Bad day at Big Rock.
Well, you know, I appreciate it. And as a person who's literally taking care, provided daily care for a million animals in my lifetime, even though I'm not, as wise as Hank, I'd be willing to bet, Hank, you can also find some place where this senator of yours has spent more time talking about saving a wild horse than she talked about missing somebody who worked for her. Somebody who tried to make her look good in rural areas. And yet that just seems to be a second thought. Yep. But yet if she could go out of her way to help a wild horse and save its life, I'll bet you she'd be all about it. That's what's really messed up in today's world.
Yeah. We've got off track really, really bad. And as I've said, I think since the first time I was on the radio with you, it all goes back to education. And it all goes back to Chinese proverb or not, if your goals are short-term, plant rice. If your goals are for immediate, plant trees. If your goals are long-term, educate your children. And we have turned the education of our children over to people that have a nefarious worldview, and they want power, power, power. And we've let them do it. Let the government do it. There ought to be a law. How many times do you say, "How there ought to be a law"? Well, no. Laws should be limited. Regulations should be limited, and there should be a damn good reason for any of them, and they're not. They just, that's what they do. That's what their job is, they think, is to sit back there, take the taxpayers' money, frivolous away, or throw it away, or burn it, and then blame the other party, you know, when they don't have to be there very long, and they're all culpable in the same bloody mess. And that's power, power, power. Goodness sakes.
Kurt Engelhart, is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And this
very nice young man
will be dedicated to his legacy. And Hank and I will not let up one second in his honor. We've successfully journeyed down the path, connecting food producers and food consumers. For Hank Booker, I'm Trent Lewis. Both of us reminding you that all roads do lead to a rural route. Let's talk about our Christian and country roots and who brings that to life when lyrics. It's Greg Hager. Greg Hager's from Valley City, North Dakota, but this past week, he was in Colorado. I know he's going to be performing in Ainsworth, Nebraska this coming weekend. Every single time he's out, he brings to song and lyrics something that you will be able to resonate. Trust me, if you're listening to this program, you will resonate with his songs. Ain't God Great? Cowboy Way, just to name a few. Get more details and order your album. Plus, see where Greg's at in concert next. In fact, he's going to go to England and spend some time with Andrew Henderson very soon. Shouldn't he be in your neighborhood as well? Order, check out Greg online, greghager.com. Once again, that's greghager.com. And by the way, if you are dining and you would like to maybe give Greg a surprise, Greg and Andrew. Hey, you want some good beef, guys? Tell them where they can get it. You be the informational source here. Great Plains Cattlemen working together to provide a tender supply of beef. Get more details about how all of the Great Plains Cattlemen utilizing the Piedmontese sires deliver the most tender beef on the planet. Hey, here's the best deal. You don't need to go to the store. We deliver the tender beef to your door. CPBeef.com. We'll see you tomorrow.